Welcome to the Projection Booth. This is Mike White. On this very special episode, we're going to be looking at the Freep Film Festival, which is an annual event that's been taking place for a couple of years here in Detroit. It takes place this year, March 31st through April 3rd, 2016, in downtown and a few places out in Metro Detroit area. In a few minutes here, I'll be talking with Steve Byrne, who is the Arts and Entertainment Editor at the Freep, a.k.a. the Detroit Free Press. That's the very cool name, is the Freep, just FYI. And just so you know, you might have seen via our Facebook that both Rob and I are going to be hosting events here at the Freep Film Festival. Rob's event is on Friday night down at the Third Man Records on Cass Avenue, a very hip place. And I'm going to be over at the Detroit Historical Society on April 3rd, talking about The Dying of the Light. You'll learn a little bit more about the films that we're hosting in a few minutes here. So let's go ahead, no further ado, and talk with Steve Byrne of the Detroit Free Press. Steve Byrne, the Freep Film Festival, how long has that been going on now?
We're coming into our third year. Started in 2014, and very happy to be still be around.
How has the festival changed over the years?
A couple of ways. You know, in our first year, we were quite a bit smaller, and our focus that year was entirely on documentaries that were related either directly to Detroit or Michigan. Beginning last year, you know, we got bigger. We about doubled in size. We started branching out a little bit, doing some stuff that we just thought would really resonate well in Detroit, might not have been directly involved with it in any certain way. And I'd say we're following that pattern again in year three. We've gotten a little bigger, added a few more venues. And again, while the Detroit and Michigan films really are our backbone, our body is getting wider in that, you know, we're booking stuff that we just feel is good cinema or really connect with people around here. At least we hope it will.
Now, you still focus primarily on the documentaries?
Absolutely. I think docs are always going to be mainly what we do. You know, there's really a strong connection, obviously, between the documentary form and journalism. So we think that makes sense as far as, you know, the Free Press's involvement goes. And also, you know, the Free Press does produce its own documentaries. So we like it as a showcase for that stuff. There's other film festivals in Michigan that, you know, focus heavily on fiction or narrative films, and that's great. We kind of view this as the lane we want to drive in. Last year, we did book one movie that was not a documentary, and we did the same thing here this year. We have one movie called Superior, which is set in Michigan, made by a native Michigan filmmaker about a couple of guys who decide to bike the entire shore of Lake Superior. So we thought that was a movie that would made sense in our overall context, but that's the only thing we have that is not a documentary, except we do have one mockumentary.
You definitely spend a lot of time around the Lake Superior region this year, because I've seen 50 Lakes on One Island, the documentary about Isle Royale, and I know you're pairing that with another film about Isle Royale. Such a gorgeous, gorgeous film, and just really made me want to go there, frankly.
I have been there one time myself, so I'm really excited for both of these movies. I will say that the one you reference is one of the only films in the lineup that a couple other people in our building have seen, and I actually have not seen it yet. And then it's paired, as you mentioned, with a movie that's made by a Free Press filmmaker named Brian Kaufman. He did, you know, some people might remember Packard the Last Shift from our first film festival. His movie's called Predator Prey, The Fight for Isle Royale Wolves. And it kind of deals with the delicate balance there between wolves and moose. So two very different looks at that island, which is such a fantastic place. I believe it's the least visited national park in the country. And so it's a very serene place. And if you like the outdoors, I will highly recommend it. And if you don't like the outdoors, but you find this concept interesting, well, then go see the films.
Now, what are some of the ones that you're the most excited for this year?
Of course, you know, being involved with the festival, I'm pretty excited about everything. But if you want me to pick out a couple that I think would probably maybe would play well with your audience, we're really happy on Saturday night at the Detroit Film Theater at the Detroit Institute of Arts. We're doing a double feature, which is a one ticket price, so just $10. And we're showing first the documentary Hearts of Darkness, which is, of course, about the great Francis Ford Coppola movie Apocalypse Now. And then afterwards, we'll be showing Apocalypse Now on the big screen as well. In between, Fax Barr, who is the co-director of the documentary along with Eleanor Coppola and George Hickenlooper, will be here at the theater talking about the making of that documentary, which in my mind is one of the all-time great making of stories, how Apocalypse Now came together or in some way didn't, and drove a lot of people batty during the making of it. So this movie, if you've never seen it, it doesn't screen very often, and we even, it seems it's pretty hard to find on DV and such. So it's a great opportunity to see both these movies at one time, I think. So there's one that, I hope I'm not stepping on toes, but, you're going to be helping with us a little bit. Dying of the Light is a movie that I first saw at the Doc NYC Festival, and it is about the dying art of cinema projection. And it talks to a lot of projectionists, some who are still working today, some who have lost their jobs as most movie theaters have moved to digital, and also visits theaters all over the country and kind of looks at how they're dealing with that change, including some that are now defunct. One, the Michigan Theater in downtown Detroit is featured pretty prominently, and of course that one hasn't shown movies, I believe, for now close to 40 years. It's basically a parking garage where they used to, sit 1,000 people for movies in the 40s in Detroit. So I think movie fans, there's a couple that I think would really jump out.
So much of the film festival is definitely focused on Michigan. What do you think that are some of the most important Michigan films that you're showing this year?
One that we have that there seems to be a lot of excitement about is called Land Grab. Detroiters will probably be familiar with a project called Hans Farms. And the essential idea, very rich businessman who lived kind of what they call the Near East Side of Detroit. Not far from his neighborhood, there was a fair amount of blight. He decided he would like to buy up a lot of those houses and tracts and turn it into a huge urban farm. And there was a lot of excitement about this idea and then also a lot of resistance to this idea, including among people on Detroit city government. It took several years for this to play out, and the filmmakers had a lot of access behind the scenes, both people who wanted to see the project move forward and those who didn't, and really tell a very compelling Detroit tale. A lot of people around Detroit will know how it ended up. Maybe for your listeners, I won't blow it because, the movie has a little bit of tension to it and whether this project ends up happening or not. Another one that would probably be of interest for a lot of people in Michigan and also for people around the country is a Free Press-made film called Accidental Activists. This is the story of a lesbian couple from Hazel Park, Michigan, who initially decide to challenge Michigan's ban on gay or lesbian couples from adopting children. That fight turns into a battle, basically, for the right for gay marriage, ends up going all the way to the Supreme Court. Mandy Wright, who's a cinematographer and photographer at the Free Press, basically was following this couple almost from the very outset of their fight in takes it all the way up to the Supreme Court. It's a really important movie in a lot of ways, and I think people will find the story very compelling. It happened right here in Detroit, but it definitely had nationwide implications.
It's funny that you have not just one, but two documentaries about Farming Detroit, one called Farming Detroit, because when I talk to people outside of the city, for a while there, that seemed to be the thing that everybody would bring up. Oh yeah, you guys are growing farms down in Detroit. Isn't that amazing? And the city's really coming back and you guys are farming. And it's just like the strangest thing that people would pick up on, but I guess it is a national story.
Yeah, it is. And the second movie you're referring to after Land Grab, Farming Detroit, is actually a nationally produced for a cable channel called FYI, which is part of the A&E Networks, umbrella. And Farming Detroit is very different from Land Grab in that it deals with a lot of smaller scale projects, where Land Grab was this place that was like buying up several city blocks was what they were proposing. And Farming Detroit is smaller scale, much more DIY, not people who have, it's not agribusiness, it's DIY business. And it profiles, if I'm remembering correctly, I've watched this one probably 4 or 5 months ago now. I think like there's kind of five key main characters, some who are from the city and have lived there all their life, others who have kind of jumped in on this trend that you're referencing there and have moved to the city because they think this is something that could make a big difference to Detroit. There's various tensions that happen in that film too. Not everyone is in agreement about how things should go about, and that kind of plays off. Most of the films that we show at the festival do have, discussions or Q&As afterwards, and we should have a really strong panel after Farming Detroit. Again, I don't know if tension is exactly the right word, but there's definitely a lot of conversation going on about how that movement can best help the city and how you kind of avoid the carpetbagger or interloper syndrome. And I think we'll hear some of that in the film, and we'll hear a lot of it on the stage in the conversation afterwards.
Now, I know you've got Fax Bar coming into town to host the screening of Hearts of Darkness or be part of the screening of that. Who else are you bringing in for the festival?
We have several filmmakers or films that were made by, you know, native Detroiters or native Michiganders that have done really well on the festival circuit. And in most cases, all those filmmakers are coming home. I'll mention a couple. There's a movie called The Great Alone, which has done really, really well on the festival circuit. It was made by a guy named Greg Coase, who grew up somewhere in Metro Detroit. I think it was Oakland County. I'm not 100% positive. It's a story of a guy named Lance Mackey, who has won multiple Iditarod championships in Alaska and also has a very tense father-son relationship with his dad, who was one of the original Iditarod champions. And so this movie has a lots of inside access of watching this nearly two-week 1,000-mile race across the barrens of Alaska, and it really has, it's very exciting, but also has this very kind of human story so between the father and the son that's going on. Greg Coase, so he is one person that will be here. A movie called From This Day Forward, really good young director named Sharon Shattuck. She grew up north and went to U of M, and her father is the main subject of this movie, which her father is a transgender woman, and her story is told from a first person perspective and how her mother and her father and her all kind of came to terms with his evolving life. Sharon actually will not be there, but Trisha and Marcia Shattuck, who are her parents, will be in town for the Q&A after that screening. Definitely looking forward to that one. One other local name and movie that I would like to mention, a guy who grew up in Farmington Hills named Jason Zeldis, whose movie is called Romeo is Bleeding. Jason is also a young up-and-coming director. His movie has played a lot of the key festivals. It's primarily about a guy, a spoken word / hip-hop artist from a town called Richmond, California, which is near Oakland, that has a lot of urban issues. And the main character, Dante Clark, and this group he works with decide that they're going to tell the story of Richmond through Romeo and Juliet. And so you have this integration of hip-hop spoken word with Shakespeare that Jason tells in a really, I think, really super brilliant and compelling way. And this Dante Clark character is super, super charismatic. So Jason will also be here for both of his screenings. So there's kind of three Michiganders who, their movies are really not so much about Michigan, but they're doing really well kind of playing out elsewhere, not just in Detroit. A couple other people that kind of the biggest names you ask who will be part of the festival. Both of these refer to our opening night. Over at the Fillmore Detroit, Kevin Smith is going to be bringing one of his Fat Man on Batman podcasts. We like the idea of booking Kevin Smith for a lot of reasons. Obviously, he's a very compelling filmmaker. He's a great talker, a great storyteller. His Fat Man on Batman podcast seemed really appropriate being in Detroit with that Batman v Superman just having opened. So we expect to hear a little bit of Kevin's opinions about the movie, which, as your listeners will probably know, a lot of it was filmed literally blocks from the Fillmore Detroit where he will be performing. So that's on Thursday night. Also on Thursday night over at the DIA, we will have Olympic gold medal boxer Clarissa Shields. She is the star of a movie called T-Rex, which basically details her pursuit of Olympic gold in 2012. Clarissa just qualified for the 2016 Olympics as well, and she has the opportunity to be the first ever U.S. boxer to win two Olympic gold medals. So we're going to show that movie, which is really great. It debuted at South by Southwest last year. It's played a lot of other key festivals, I believe, Traverse City, Doc NYC, and making its Metro Detroit premiere here. One of the directors will be here along with Clarissa, so that should be a really cool night as well.
You know, you mentioned the connection between Batman v Superman and Detroit. I have to say I was very surprised to see The Death of Superman Lives, What Happened, being part of the festival, though I'm very happy to see it because it is such a great doc.
I will tell you, I first learned about that movie from the episode that you guys did on it. So a tip of the hat to you there. There was a couple reasons to book that. One, like you say, it is a really compelling movie. If you're into the world of Hollywood, it very much gives you some insider looks at how films get made, or in this case, don't get made. There's all this mythology about Nicolas Cage playing Superman and what Tim Burton would have done with the film if he was able to inject his vision onto that mythology. That's all really interesting. Obviously, again, we're trying to spin off Batman v Superman, and it also draws kind of a little through line. Well, why are you booking Kevin Smith for a documentary festival? He, of course, is a major player in Death of Superman because he wrote the first draft of the script. I agree with you. Very excited to have that one. Again, thank you for first bringing it to my attention.
Not only do you have films, but you've also got some like sidebar session kind of stuff going on. Can you tell me about a little bit about those?
One that we are really, really excited about is called the Freak Film Festival Academy. And essentially, that's an all-day session that happens on Friday, also at the DIA. We've got 8 or 9 experts from the world of film, basically all-day session with lectures, Q&As, a chance for up-and-coming and aspiring filmmakers to really learn people from who are experts in the craft. They're going to share tips. They're going to share war stories. Facts Bar is a part of it. A couple of other directors, including two that I mentioned from the Free Press, Mandy Rice and Brian Kaufman, a woman named Rebecca Carpenter, who is the director of a movie that's world premiering with us on Friday night called Requiem for a Running Back. So I think, you know, last year, that was the first year we did the Academy. It was a really successful event. Everybody was walking out of there saying, we got so much value for the money. So there is one. A second one, third year in a row, we're paired up with a group called Preservation Detroit. And essentially, Preservation Detroit does what it says. They look to preserve and respect Detroit's classic architecture. Once a year, they've been known for doing this really cool walking kind of insider's tour around theaters in downtown Detroit. So they are doing one of them with us for the third year in a row. And essentially you get to walk around downtown and see some of the places where movies were shown, you know, during Detroit's absolute heyday, you know, the 20s, the 30s and 40s, places like the Michigan Theater, the Adams Theater, the Fillmore Detroit, and get some insider information about when those places were thriving and really super alive. So there's two that jump out at me that are particularly, you know, not just about going to watch a movie, but kind of integrating with people in a different way.
Now, you talked that there's going to be one mockumentary at the festival. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Big favorite band around Detroit is a group called the Electric Six. You know, they have, for a lot of people might remember, during kind of the height of the Detroit garage rock boom in the early 2000s, they had a couple of hits called Danger High Voltage, also a very popular song called Gay Bar. And these guys are a great, great rock and roll band, but they also are known for a very sly, some might say ironic, some might say winking sense of humor. They always interject a ton of fun into what they do. Also super very kind of charismatic and visual approach to their music. So they are making a mockumentary right now called Roulette Stars of Metro Detroit. And it is not completed yet, but we were really excited about what little we were able to see. And we're all big Electric Six fans. A couple members of the band and the two directors are going to be over at Third Man Records Detroit, which is Jack White's new record store back in the stomping grounds, kind of where that Detroit garage rock boom originally happened. And they're going to show clips of the movie, talk about what they're up to. And I'm guessing this will be a night that will be pretty fun and long on the laughs. Someone your listeners know well, Rob St. Mary, is going to be hosting it.
Can you tell me a little bit more about some of the other venues where you're showing stuff?
Our key venue is the Detroit Institute of Arts. They have two theaters there. One is the Detroit Film Theater, kind of a classic, you know, rehabbed movie house. Forgive me, I'm not going to remember when they first started showing movies there, but I think it was in the 30s. And there is also a place called the Marvin Betty Danto Lecture Hall. So two venues at the DIA, a couple of other venues that have been with us the last couple years, Cinema Detroit, which is kind of the indie, artsy, edgy film house in the city. They do a lot of really great booking. I think probably some films that your listeners will know and like. And the Fillmore Detroit, which has been with us since the first year, is where Kevin Smith is happening. Couple new venues. One I just mentioned was, you know, Third Man Records. We've not worked with them before. The Red Bull House of Art, which is over in Detroit's Eastern Market. We're hosting one screening there. And the Detroit Historical Museum, which I believe is where you're going to be helping us on the Dying of the Light movie, hosting the Q&A, if I'm remembering correctly. And last, the first time we are venturing outside of Detroit, we have 7 or 8 screenings at Imagine Theaters up in Royal Oak, which is kind of straight up, for people not in Detroit, kind of straight up the Woodward Corridor, about 10 miles outside of downtown. So I'm going to do a few screenings in Royal Oak as well.
So people can just jump on the train and go all the way out there.
Yeah. All they'll need is an extra 6 or 7 miles on our new train that's coming, and then they can do it. But hey, we can hope, right? Maybe in 10 years that will be happening.
God, wouldn't that be smart to actually go all the way out there?
As somebody who lives on that spine, just on the edge of it, man, I would definitely appreciate some sort of light rail that ran all the way from the near northern suburbs to downtown. I would be using it every day.
Now, just because I can't take anything seriously, I want to ask you, how many documentaries about the Flint water crisis do you think will be in next year's festival?
I'm sure that there will be a couple. We're hearing of at least a few that are being made, and I just came across one the other day that some Michigan State students put together. It was a little bit late to make it into our lineup, but you can watch it on YouTube. So I've heard of a few big names that are doing something. I know there's been speculation that Michael Moore is going to do something. I don't know if that's true or not, but he would seem to be in a catbird's position to pull something off like that if he wanted to. My guess is we will be hearing more about Flint next year, for sure.
I could see Michael Moore and Spike Lee having a cage match to see whose film wins.
If you hear about Spike getting into the state of Michigan, please let us know, because we would like to know if he's going to dig into that one.
Do you think that they stop him at the border?
They would not. But, you know, we shouldn't joke too much about Spike. We do have a Spike Lee film showing this year. If you didn't see the Michael Jackson from Motown to Off the Wall, not to turn this back into a pitch, but just because you brought up Spike Lee, it didn't immediately occur to me that we're actually showing one of his movies this year. So that's kind of exciting. It would be interesting to see, like you mentioned, how about rather than a cage match, maybe a co-directors, Michael Moore and Spike Lee? How do you think that would go?
Oh, wow. They could just like get along and do a big, though their styles are so different.
Two people with absolute reputations for being super easy to work with, right?
I have to tell you, one of the movies that I'm really looking forward to is Parducci, The Man Who Made Detroit Beautiful. That looks fascinating to me.
Yeah, Corrado Parducci is they call him a decorative architectural sculptor. He is a guy that if you live in Detroit, essentially almost every major building, you know, kind of in its post-World War I up to post-World War II, every key building in Detroit, he had some hand in. He didn't design the whole buildings himself. Basically, he would be contracted to put, you know, kind of the decorative touches on them. A few names people around town would know would be like the Guardian, the Penobscot, the David Stott, the Fisher Theater. This guy just does some amazing work. A couple of young filmmakers from Detroit, I believe this is their first feature, though they've done other things, very, very interested in architecture. And so they give a really kind of compelling look at both Parducci's life. He was an immigrant, and how he came to be such an important figure. You know, I don't want to make it sound too provincial, because he has, as the movie shows, he has work that's shown all over the country from coast to coast, but Detroit and Michigan were kind of his mainstay, and he did some absolutely beautiful stuff.
Where's the best place for people to go to find out more information, find the schedule, and buy tickets for the fest?
At freakfilmfestival.com, if you click on the link at the top of the page that says 2016 films, you will have two things that'll help you there. One, there's a grid schedule that would help you do whatever sort of planning you'd want to do. And then there are capsules of every film, including some that we talked about and some that we didn't have time to. Hot links to buy tickets in all cases. So if you're looking for one-stop shop, freakfilmfestival.com is the place to go. You'll also find coverage of a lot of these films at freak.com, which is, of course, our main bullhorn. And if there's maybe one movie that you want to see and you're not interested in really jumping around, if I referenced any of the venues here, in most all cases, with a handful of exceptions, the tickets are being sold through the venues themselves. So in other words, if you're like, I just wanted to go to that Fillmore thing, or I just wanted to go to that DIA thing, you could sidestep free and just go right to the venue, either the box offices or their own individual websites.
Tell me how you're doing with the documentary podcast and with the Detours podcast.
Detours, for those that don't know, is a weekly entertainment podcast that the Free Press puts on. Really, its focus is putting all sorts of Detroit arts and culture into one basket. A lot of times we're previewing stuff that happens on any given weekend. I work on that, and I guess I would call myself as kind of a producer and sidekick to Rob St. Mary, who is the lead producer and the lead host. And that comes out every week on Freep.com, and is also on, you know, on SoundCloud and Stitcher and iTunes, those kinds of places. It comes out every Thursday. So Detours is going real well. I'm very excited about the work we're doing with it. We're getting a lot of positive feedback. Our listenership seems to be growing. You know, I'm not sure that the Free Press is the first place people would think for podcasts, but we're actually doing quite a few now. You know, our sports department has a handful of them as well. So having a lot of fun pushing forward with that. The other one you mentioned, the documentary podcast, also something that I really enjoy working on. I will be honest in that in the past month and a half or so, as we've been very festival focused, we have not put a new episode up yet. So I'm a little embarrassed to say that, but I'll be truthful. Look for some new stuff coming from the Doc podcast as soon as we get out of festival week and can kind of start cranking that back up. But appreciate you mentioning both of them for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And we got to have you back on the show one of these days when we do another documentary.
Yeah, I had a great time the one time you let me jump in, and I'm always willing to help if it helps you, and it's always great to talk documentaries with you.
Cool. Yeah, I'll wait a little while until the festival dies down for you, because I know it gets really busy.
Yep, you got my number.
Well, thank you very much, Steve. I appreciate talking with you.
And we appreciate your support. Thanks a lot, Mike. Really, really appreciate it.
All right, once again, the address to go to for more information about the festival is freepfilmfestival.com. We'll be posting some links over at our Facebook page, which is projectionbooth.facebook.com, or just go on over to projection-booth.com and click on the Facebook link, and you'll find out a little bit more about that. And also, the Freep Film Festival has a good social media presence on Twitter and Facebook, so easy enough to find. I hope that you'll come down and see us for our screenings, and I hope that you'll see more than just those screenings. There's a lot of great stuff going on. One film that didn't get mentioned is called The Goat Yard, which I saw a few years ago at the Blue Water Film Festival, and I have to recommend that one. It is a pretty darn good little film, and there's, yeah, just a lot of great stuff showing at the festival this year. They're really doing a bang-up job with this fest, so be sure to check it out, and if you can't get down to Detroit to see this stuff, keep an eye out for some of the films that are being shown down there. Thank you very much for listening, and keep tuning in.
Do you have any money?
I want to spend all your money.
Spend all your money.
Oh.
the goody boy.